I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. These familiar words from Psalm 122 are words I've often used at the opening of worship. A psalm that was used by the people of Israel as they were going up from homes into Jerusalem for some of their holy feasts and festivals during the year. It was, in essence, a call to worship, a celebration of joy as the people were coming for one of those several times a year into the holy city, into the temple to celebrate the stories of God's goodness. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Beautiful words. But I wonder if they're always true. I asked you last week to reflect on why you were here in worship last week. If I were to ask you honestly, what was your mood entering worship today? I wonder how many different answers there would be. I bet some are stressed by work or home pressures. Some were probably fuming because of the fight you got into in the car on the way to church. No nudging your spouse right now. Some were lonely. Some were grieving. Some may have been excited to see friends. There are a variety of moods, undoubtedly, that we bring into worship each Sunday. And though we might be able to acknowledge the beauty of the words, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There are some weeks we may not feel just that as we walk into this place. And the good news of God's love is that's okay. God doesn't expect us to always have it together before we come into worship. God accepts us where we are. God meets us where we are. God welcomes us no matter how much we have it together or how much we don't. And so whether we were glad at the chance to come today, or whether we were just waiting till it's over so we can go to lunch, God welcomes us and meets us where we are. But it's because of these realities that we come into this place distracted by the week we've been living, with lots on our hearts and minds, with a lot of things running through our thought processes, that I believe the call to worship at the beginning of worship serves an important practical and theological purpose. The reality is we walk into here and we can't just magically turn off everything that's been going through our minds. And so, at the beginning of worship, we structure worship to invite us to begin to pay attention. Now, I remind you, especially if you're here this week and weren't here last week. Last week we began a series of sermons on worship. And last week I introduced the concept of worship, and you can find it online if you want to go back and listen, and talked about worship is about paying attention to God's goodness. Worship is about stepping back from all that fills our hearts and minds and lives and recognizing what God has already done for us and joining with other people in offering gratitude and praise to God. I pointed out that worship is not about being a spectator watching the folks up front lead, but we are the worshipers, all of us. We're here not to go home with a good, entertained feeling, but we're here to focus on God and express our praise and gratitude to God. But the reality is, sometimes we struggle to get to that point. Sometimes we struggle to pay attention amidst all that's been going on in our lives. And so beginning this week, we're going to be looking for several weeks at the elements of worship. If you look at your bulletins, you may notice there are four headings. And the first heading invites us to reflect on, at the beginning of worship, we are gathering to praise God. We have the chiming of the Trinity, just to reflect on the goodness of God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then we have a prelude. Now, you may have noticed a few months back, we shifted the announcements to before the prelude because y'all are quieter after the announcements. Once we've gotten your attention, you tend to settle down a little better. And the prelude is not just another final minute to catch up with folks you haven't seen in a week. The prelude is music prepared, often a hymn, that invites us to begin to quiet our hearts, our minds, our souls, to say, God, help me to push aside and let go of the distractions, and help me begin to listen. In your marriage, in your family relationships, no relationship survives if you spend all your time talking and not listening. And so the prelude is to begin to quiet our spirits, and during that time we can begin to say, God, help me to listen. And then we have a call to worship. Sometimes it's spoken, sometimes it's music. Today it was both. But inviting us to be reminded of God's presence. And so words of music or words of responsive reading might invite us to focus on praising God, and it's one more invitation to begin to pay attention, to let go of what distracts us, to listen to the reminder that God is here, and to commit ourselves to praise and gratitude. And then we generally follow with an invocation. And I want to make an important distinction here. I can't tell you how many times I've been in church, and during an opening prayer or an invocation, I have heard someone pray, God, we just pray that you'll show up today. We just pray that you'll be here with us. Do you hear the theology of that? God's already said he's here. God's already promised that he's always with us. God has promised to worshipers that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in our midst. So our opening prayer is not, God, come be with us, because we already have that promise. But the invocation is a time to say, God, help us to pay attention. Chris opened his invocation today, ever-present God. And this is a prayer at the beginning in which we say, God, my mind's all over the place. I'm distracted. I don't want to be here. But despite all that, you love me and you've welcomed me here. Give me ears to hear. Give me eyes to see. Help me to know that you are present. Help me to pay attention and listen for your voice. For ultimately, God is the one who calls us into worship. God has taken the initiative. God has reached out to us. Unlike some religious traditions, we don't in prayer have to come before God and beg him to love us or beg him to do what's best for us. In some religions, prayer is almost trying to cut a deal with God to get what we want from God. But as Christian believers, God, we know God has already created us, loved us enough to send his Son, has promised us the Holy Spirit to be with us always. And so in worship, our invitation is to pray that we are aware and open and listening to the grace and presence of God. We don't have to beg God to be on our side. For Paul tells us in Romans, God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ doesn't wait for us to get in the right mood. He doesn't wait till we have it all together. He wants to meet us right here, no matter what mess we're in, what mess we've created, what mess of distractions our minds are filled with. But the beginning of worship, as we create it here, is designed to remind us that we have the choice as to whether we're going to try to pay attention, whether we want to listen. And even our opportunities for us to learn, to pay attention, to pray that God will help us listen to what he wants to say on this particular day. And I see that message in both of the passages we read today. A message that reminds us that as we come into worship in this hour, but even more as we go out to live our lives, we're invited to spend time in worship and every day praying that God will help us to see and respond to God's presence. Psalm 100 is one of those familiar and loved psalms. It was likely a song of ascent as well, something the Jewish people sang on their way into worship. And as we read this psalm, we find seven imperatives calling us to focus our attention on God. Shout for joy. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Imperatives that tell us as the body of Christ, we're called to sing for joy, to come into his presence with gladness, to know that he's God and to worship God. And the reasons for this call are also articulated in this psalm. This psalm works as a call to worship because it invites us to praise, to celebrate, to be grateful. And then it reminds us that the reasons for this are what God has already done for us. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I wonder what difference it could make in our daily spiritual lives if we just took a moment and read that psalm regularly and took hold of the good news that's contained there. He made us. He made you. We are his. We belong to God as God's children, the sheep of his pasture, which implies he's taking care of us. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. God never gives up on us, never quits loving us. His faithfulness continues through all generations. If that good news gets into our hearts, if we think on it and absorb that message, the natural response is going to be gratitude and praise. And so the call to worship, the call to praise is not come and beg God to be here. But it's a time at the beginning where we're reminded God's already done so much for us. And we benefit when we stop and pay attention. When we ask God to help us be aware of God's presence. The passage we read from Ephesians 3 is a favorite of mine. There's rich and deep theology in Paul's letter as he's outlining his prayer for the Ephesian people. And did you notice what he prays for them? This is what Paul's praying for them, for us. And the phrasing that captures me is that he prays that they might have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. He's not praying that God will love us. That already exists. God already loves us. He prays for the believers that they might have the power, that they might, through the Spirit, come to grasp how much we are loved. In essence, this may not be used as a call to worship in the same way Psalm 100 might, but what Paul's articulating is that same call to the people to pay attention to what God has already done and that they might know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, and that knowing that we are loved, we could be filled with the fullness of God. To think, this is what's available to us as God's people. To know God's overflowing love, to experience the fullness of God, to be connected to the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Sometimes we talk to God as if we have God figured out. But Paul reminds us, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And so Paul's prayer for the people, Paul's prayer for us, is that we might have the power through, with all God's other children, to realize how much we're loved. To realize that God's power is greater than we can comprehend. That we can understand and pay attention to what God has done and will continue to do in our lives. And in this sense, a call to worship, though it's part of the service at a few minutes after 11, is not just about what we do at the beginning of worship, but it is about what we are called to do each and every day. In the midst of all that presses on your time, in the midst of all the distractions that eat at you, in the midst of the pain and the grief and the anxieties, what would it mean to wake up each morning and create our own patterns of a call to worship? To wake up in the morning prayerfully saying, God, I know you've created me, I know you've loved me, help me to pay attention today. Help me to know that I'm loved when I have doubts. We're invited daily to make space, to pay attention to what God is already doing. And when we pray, we don't have to come before God begging Him to be good to us, because God already wants that. We don't have to beg God to love us, because God already does. We can come before God and ask God to help us to see, to hear, to respond, to know that God is present in our lives, that we might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You remember in Genesis 28, Jacob has a dream and he has this vision of God, and he wakes up from this dream and he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. How many times could that be said in our lives? How many times might we look back and say, God was present, and I wasn't paying attention? And so in the beginning of worship, we create a reminder to quiet our hearts and pay attention and listen for God. But we do all that we do in worship, not just for this hour, but that we might develop the patterns in daily life that allow us to worship God and walk in relationship to God. Remember in Mark 1, when Jesus came, the first announcement he made about his ministry was that the kingdom of God has come near. It's God's people. We live as part of God's kingdom. It's not yet complete, but we are living in the presence of God every moment of every day. And the great challenge of our spiritual lives is to learn, to listen, to pay attention, to look and see where God is at work. I do love that we teach our children about God sightings, because we need to develop these patterns within us. I've told you before that on Wednesday night, if you come on Wednesday, you know I usually begin with thanksgivings or blessings. And I've talked before about often for us in Baptist churches, If I say, what are you thankful for? We can have lots of good answers. But if I say, where have you seen God at work? People look at me funny. Why do we struggle to think about that question? And maybe part of the discipline we need to develop as Christians is learning to pay attention and being able to share with fellow believers where we've seen God at work. The Bible tells us God created us. He sent His Son. He gives us His Spirit. He's reached out to us. He's taken the initiative, and He invites us to respond by paying attention and responding with gratitude. And know that day by day, when we pay attention and prayerfully live listening for God's voice, we will find reminders that God is good. A pastor in California tells of a Sunday that he was preaching. And there was a family in the church who had an older elementary age little boy who had struggles with seizures. And when the seizures started, it was painful for the boy and scary for everybody around. And one particular Sunday, as the pastor was preaching, the young boy went into a seizure, and the father scooped him up and went and just stood at the back, holding his son close, walking and moving and whispering to him. And the pastor said, I was trying to focus on preaching, but I was watching this scene unfold, trying to not completely lose my focus. And the pastor says, as he's watching this father love this boy, hug him close, whisper in his ear until the seizure ended, the pastor said, I looked at the face of that father and there was no anger, there was no frustration, there was just love. Loving that little boy till the seizure would pass. And the pastor says this, in that moment, while I was preaching, I was preached to. I heard God speak to my heart and say, that's the way I love you. Through your imperfections. I'm not embarrassed to have people know that you are my child. When we pay attention, when we prayerfully ask God to give us eyes to see, we might be overwhelmed by the daily reminders that God loves us through our imperfections, that He's not embarrassed to call us His child, and that He's present and working in ways that we often miss. How many times have we found ourselves saying, surely the Lord was in this place and I wasn't aware of it? As we call ourselves to worship on Sunday mornings, as we call ourselves to worship each morning, we're praying that God will help us learn to see what God is doing. And so maybe you would develop a pattern of waking up saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it, even if you're not sure you believe it when you first wake up. Or a psalm that you start the day with, or something that reminds you to pay attention to the presence of God. And maybe at the end of your day, you make some time to sit back and say, when have I seen God at work today? Or maybe to do some journaling around, where have I seen God today? But I believe and am convinced that the more we call ourselves to worship and pay attention and ask God to help us see, the more we'll discover a God who is truly worthy of all praise. Let us worship here, but also everywhere. Will you pray with me? Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, dear Lord. Your presence, your working, your love all around us every moment of every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is, in fact, a prayer that God would open our eyes to